Hello and welcome to the second part of our Woodman Corner end of season player review podcast. I'm Graham Brown and I'm sat here with Ian Bay of WBA Mad, Joseph Chapman and Kieran Duday. I'm going to continue to look at the performers and non-performers of this Albion season. Okay, well, let's get into midfielders then. That's where we end. I'm going to start with Gareth Barry. Go on, Ian, what are you going to say about Gareth Barry?
Gareth Barry gets a free from me. So I just rack my brains about why we ever signed Gareth Barry. I mean, what was he, 38 when we signed him? And you know, at that time we always had an aging squad in the Premier League, and that just did. I know that he was obviously brought in to try and replace, you know, the influence of Fletcher in the dressing room, but I just don't think he's that sort of character, to be honest. He seems like quite a quiet man. And you know, he's obviously got the experience, he's won Premier Leagues, etc., played for England in, you know, all these major competitions, but he's just been a disaster for us.
Yeah.
You know, he's just been a complete waste of money, and that, you know, he's just another one who I just feel, I'm not sure why, but I just feel like he's disrespected the club with his antics in Barcelona, and like he hasn't showed like any sort of remorse, and you know, he's obviously
he loves a night out, doesn't he?
He loves a night out, snobs, and you know, how does he stay out so late? You know, he's crazy. That's the thing that really annoys me about him.
to be fair, you're not as old as he is. I've given him a four, but I actually feel like I was kind of being too kind. Because I don't actually remember, we talked about this last week, I don't actually ever remember having what I would call a good game for Albion.
He's done nothing.
He's been poor all season. I've never really, we always felt like it's the kind of balance there, but I mean, actually fundamentally, I would honestly say he's the slowest midfielder I've ever seen play for Albion. It's just ridiculous. I'm not someone who gets carried away with the kind of personality side of it, but I'm desperate not to see Barry there next season. I'd be really distraught to see his name on that sheet. Even to the point where, if they have to pay him off, let's just forget about it. He's the modern day Luke Moore, and let's just get him out of the club.
I think that he'll go. I'm not necessarily saying that someone will take him, but I just think that deep down in his own mind, he doesn't really want to be there anymore. So
I feel like signing him has put Sam Field back here as well.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
we had a chance to actually help him progress.
Plug him in,
and we had a lot of midfielders to help him through it. But signing Barry, someone that's
when you compare him, like where Barry is at this stage of his career and Sam Field as well, there's not too much difference.
He's twice his age.
Yeah, twice his age.
It's ridiculous.
It's a good point.
There's no
can Sam Field stay until 5 o'clock and snubs
out? He probably can. Yeah, have no hangover in the morning.
What did you give him, Kieran?
Give him a 3.5.
3.5.
But he's just, it was the biggest waste of a signing. I think we knew that anyway. The reason Fletcher moved on, really, was he was starting to slow, and then you buy an older player who wasn't as good technically to begin with when they were in the pro. And he's put one of our homegrown players backwards a year. And I just think it's really short term thinking from the club as usual, but that's exactly why we're in the position we are.
Joe?
I've given Barry a 4. And now, after listening to all you guys, that makes me sound quite generous. But I actually would, to a point, I would contest the view that he never played well. I think there was a period where, perhaps kind of early September, October time, where we were doing all right, and it was still in transition with the midfield three of Livermore and Kukoviak next to him. And I think there was a little period where Albion weren't getting the results, but He was the best of those three, I think.
Yeah, I think he started off okay, but he was always played out of position in that three. So in that three, you needed Barry to be like the anchor when he was
middleman.
I remember watching when we played Brighton away, and he was like our furthest midfielder forward, and he was chasing down, you know, the centre halves, and he was never ever going to do that.
No, I remember thinking exactly. I'd forgotten that actually at the start. That was a Pulis thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was incredible. I don't want to stick up with Barry, but one thing I would say is I think he's the sort of player that he will play it as well as the players around him play. He's someone who gives the ball to someone else, and he's never given that opportunity. But I'm not too nice to him. Ian, you start off with Livermore.
Yeah, I mean, I know that obviously we've talked about like the Barcelona 4 whatever, and Livermore, I think people have forgotten that he was one of those guys involved. You know,
confused by the reaction to that.
But I've given him a 6. So it's quite one of the highest marks, higher marks, I should say. And that's only because of his end of season flourish, really. Like if you take away like the last 6 weeks, he'd probably be like a 3 or 4 really, because he's another one who just goes missing in games and doesn't really offer us anything as a player. He's not great defensively. He goes to pieces when he gets the ball up front. It's like he's got a hot potato between his legs. You know, it's crazy. Never see, he's like the new Jonathan Green. He just goes to pieces in the box, doesn't he? So, but I think that, you know, he's kind of showed like over the last 6 weeks that he is a good footballer, and like this is the reason that he is in the England squad. So I wouldn't be surprised if he went to.
I think more than anyone, Pardew ruined him for a moment. There's that time where he was playing him like in a number 10 role. He's just like, and a remarkable.
He played him right wing as well, didn't he?
Yeah, crazy. West Ham away. West Ham away, I think. He played certainly in the final third, and it was just crazy.
So I'd sympathise with Liverpool today, but actually I've written off the stuff at the end of the season because I have my concerns about why his performance has peaked. I mean, I'm sure there's the Darren Moore factor, but there's also the England coming, and the fact that his salary is probably about to something like half. So I've given him 4.5, but I think all the things you said, I mean, I think he had a largely disappointing. I've actually got a bit of faith in Livermore. We talked before, he's a player I'd like to see there next season to add continuity, because I think he's a better player than he's shown for Albion.
I think if we can keep hold of him next year, he will boss games in the Championship. He'll be a really good footballer in the Championship.
Yeah, he's done it before. He's been promoted before with Hull on a couple of occasions, so
What score did you give him?
I've given Livermore a 5, somewhere in between. I take your point. I think about kind of the flourish. Like Igarzy, I think Moore's definitely had some kind of impact on him. The consistency of the squad selection as well was big. Yeah. You know, James McLean hardly played any. I think he must have started 2 or 3 games under Pardew. And then he started, what was it, 6 in a row?
Yeah, I think he started 2 games.
You can see why there are certain players that are really, really enjoying it under Moore, and Livermore would be one of them. And he's added goals to his game as well.
What'd you give him, Kieran?
I give him a 5. I mean, other than the last 6 weeks, he was kind of poor. But I will say that he seems to me like one of them players where the mentality is paramount. Like he has to be mentally switched up.
Yeah.
And I think with the chaos of the club, I think that made him. I think you can see an improvement now. Everything seems a bit. The whole club's moving in one direction behind Darren Moore.
Yeah.
I think he kind of fell short to the hatred really that was around the club at the time.
Yeah,
it's funny, isn't it, really, that, you know, kind of Mile hasn't had a look in really in terms of being spotlighted, and yet Barry and Evans get crucified, and Livermore's almost let off the hook.
He has improved since though.
That's a very fair point.
Well, Barry started his summer off early, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Koviac's another one that can
Greg, yeah.
Yes, that can divide. Go on, Joe, you start us off on Koviac.
Oh, I've given Greg a 3. I thought there really were just glimpses of Greg or Krakowiak being the player we wanted, and he was probably the player in the summer I was most excited about. Of all the 100%. Signings we made, I thought this is a serious statement of intent from Albion, and you thought he was going to be this box-to-box player who was kind of spraying passes all over the place, and maybe he would chip in with a goal or two and really take Albion to the next level in terms of midfield. And it's fallen flat on its backside, the whole thing. There were one or two games, probably against Liverpool, actually. I think in League and Cup.
Yeah.
He got a rest. I think he got his first start under Pardew was in the league at Anfield in December, and he was very, very good. And he really affected the game. And then, of course, the game at Anfield again in the FA Cup, he was brilliant.
I don't know if you guys remember Watford, the start of the season, first half.
Yes.
When we were like 2-0 up after 35 minutes.
Yes.
That 45 minutes from Krakowiak was the best that I've ever seen from a midfielder in an Albion shirt.
The ball for Ronda, wasn't it?
The ball for Ronda. And I remember my dad couldn't make it for some reason. And I spoke to him after, I was like, Dad, this guy's a serious player. That 45 minutes was unbelievable. And he's just got nowhere near that.
No,
but I think with Krakowiak, he really struggled with the formation. That five-man midfield. Like when he's in a 4, he's just a different player, you know.
I do think sometimes the players around him are a couple of steps behind him as well. You do see him look up. There's no one in the area.
He looked like he didn't know what he was doing, did he, for the first few months there?
No.
I think that's because that he's been used to playing at a slightly higher level with slightly better players who are kind of like on his wavelength.
Yeah.
He always seemed to be looking over his shoulder to see if he was like in the right position on the pews, and that really frustrated me because he obviously couldn't grasp.
So pragmatic, he knew he'd been drilled. What have you given him here?
Well, I've got an interesting story actually about Krakowiak, because talking about the excitement that we had around the club. It's not just from the fans as well. Like, people inside the club were so excited about signing Krychowiak. And I remember that when we went to a meeting, an Albion Assembly meeting, and Richard Garlick was there, and he was saying that, you know, Krychowiak was, the club were amazed that they had a chance to get him, because they were obviously interested in the guy from Fenerbahce, weren't they? And they
yes, were quite close D'Souza, to yeah.
And then this guy came up at the last minute, and they actually met him at Birmingham Airport, him and his agent, and they took them to a hotel, and they made sure that they stayed over at the hotel, that they couldn't leave, these two guys, because they didn't want them signing for anyone else. You know, that's how it was, so secretive, and you know, they made sure that they got the deal over the line. So, but he's just been a massive, I'm so underwhelmed by him. He's just been such a massive disappointment, hasn't he?
Yeah. You know? I think signing under Pulis didn't help him. It just ruined his game completely.
But it's just amazing that Pulis said that he was after him for like several years, and then he just didn't have a clue how to play him, did he?
That's what I couldn't work out.
He's never really got a fit right. It's funny, I also say this is the antithesis of our story. I remember sort of thinking, this guy cannot fail. He's box to box, so he kind of already does everything. Yeah, so he shouldn't be a very tactical player. He should be a put him there, he'll cover ground and do stuff for you. But it never panned out. And to that end, I've given him 4.5. I actually think, across the course of the season, I guess Livermore's just nudged him out now because he's playing one up. But those, that three, Barry, Livermore and Krychowiak could never play together. I actually think he was still the best of the three up until very, very recently.
Yeah.
But he's just been wildly mismanaged. What do you give him, Kieran?
I'll give him a 5. I think the fact that everyone knows he's taking over 100 grand a week,
that's
played against him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think he's been let down by how he's been asked to play, for one. He's always done the job he's been asked, but we've just wasted that. Yeah. We've spent 100 grand a week and we've completely wasted that player for a whole season.
You can tell the frustration he had as well with under Pardew as well. Yeah. It became very, very clear, didn't it?
Yeah.
In public view.
And he gets an extra point for that as well.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, he would have been interesting in kind of like hindsight if like Pulis would have just took the shackles off him, just said, you know, I'll trust you in a 4, play box to box, you've got Barry next
to you. Changed. It'd
he would
changed.
Have changed. That's the player that we're after, that dynamic box to box player who could cover ground. And
That's one thing I did wonder whether Pardew was going to be able to do, because of the way Pardew plays his games.
Yeah.
I wondered whether he was going to be able to get the best out of the likes of Krychowiak, but instead he got told to F off instead.
He's just told him that, hasn't he? Chris Brunt, he wants to go first, so Chris Brunt.
Well, I can't say anything bad about him.
No, I know. So. I mean, you think he likes Craig Dawson. Wait till you hear what he says about Chris Brunt. I've given Brunt a 7. he's probably my pick of the season in terms of players. He's had to kind of just get on with it anywhere he's been playing the last couple of years, hasn't he? You know, he made the left back his own spot. We're very, very pleased to see Kieran Gibbs sign in the summer. It was a natural left back that we've been all calling out for.
Yeah.
And he's become a kind of a crucial central midfielder now.
But have you seen Brunt have a good game wide of midfield this season?
No, I think he's not that player anymore, is he? Yeah.
I don't think he ever was, really, to be honest.
No, going back, he's never had pace. He's never had that searing pace. You remember that season he signed, and you know, they turn to players like Gira and Tashir and who would kind of always be the go-to players in that area. Central midfield with the quality of the passing and you know, his ability to pick a player 70 yards away.
Yeah.
And of course his set pieces, naturally, you know, he must have got double figures in terms of assists this season.
Yeah.
So everything about it, and of course he's, you know, he is like in the same bracket as Dawson. He's just a consummate pro, isn't he? So. Yeah.
Go on then, Kieran. So what do you give him, 100?
No, I wish I could. I give him a 7, just because he hasn't had the impact he normally has. But with Brunt, it seems like wherever you put him on the pitch, as long as it's down the middle or the left-hand side, he'll play there.
Yeah.
And he'll be consistent there. So
he played on the right as well under Di Matteo. That's his promoted really
well. Cut inside all the time.
But it's like I said about a month ago, I said we should try him in the middle, because that's what we're missing. And it's like you put him there and he just makes a difference.
He struggles in a 2 in the middle. I think there was one occasion.
I always said up until Darren Moore, he always struggles in the middle. I've never seen him play well.
Under Tony Mowbray, he played some very impressive games in the middle.
Yes, I remember.
And he put balls through to Schmammel and that.
That kind of decorated centre forward department we had back then. I'm struggling to remember the game exactly, but I remember he played in a 2. It might have been even with Barry. Or was it even Claudio Jakob earlier on in the season? And we really struggled with the lack of legs. But you know, in terms of his passing, if he's able to get on the ball, he's well covered by someone like Livermore. He tends to he tends to fare very well in most games.
So have you ranked his season?
I feel a bit bad giving him a six because like Chris Brunt's one of those players that you kind of love as an Albion fan, isn't he? He's like up there, like McCauley and Morrison.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, he's been solid enough, but nothing spectacular really from Brunty. And you know, he's obviously got the high level of performance, and he always gives 100%. But I just think it's kind of obvious now that he's coming towards the end of his career, which I feel a bit sad about. And but he's still an important player for us, you know.
If
you take that left foot away from West Brom, we don't get all those
goals. Half the goals have scored.
I think it's interesting next season in the Championship. It could be the making of him for the kind of end of his career, because he's going to have more corners. He's going to have more. He's one of the few players in that team that probably, if he sees more of the ball, he'll probably have a better game.
And he's going to be captain, isn't he?
Yeah, but where will he play though? This is the thing. Like I don't think he's got the legs to play in the Championship in the middle.
The problem is he's probably going to end up playing left back, because I can't
if Gibbs goes early on
I
don't think he
Brunty, actually
he played there well for Northern Ireland, didn't
he? And like you said, it is an area which is going to require he's either going to have to sort of become a sitting midfielder who moves very little. He's never going to be a box to box player at this age. I'd hope that next season is the making of it, even if he's playing at fullback. Next, McLean. I gave McLean a 5. I could have written this before the start of the season. He's run loads. He's created nothing. He's from the, you've got two boxes, I'd say. There's players who aren't good enough but are trying, and there's players that are good enough and aren't.
Yeah.
He's trying. He just he's just like Alan Liam, but playing slightly higher up the pitch, really. McLean's 5. Of course, that the Premier League clubs are going to be queuing up to sign him, but I'm only giving him a 5. What do you say?
Yeah, 5 for me as well. I think that McLean is quite a funny one. I'm still not sure about what to make of James McLean. Whether deep down, I know that he's not good enough to be in the Premier League, but for some reason, when he plays, we pick up points.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's because he's kind of like galvanises other people around him to like put a shift in, but. A bit like you said, Graham, he doesn't kind of put amazing crosses in, and he hasn't got a trick, and he doesn't look like he's got like searing pace, although I know that he's like one of the fastest players at the club. But he's one of those players that you kind of almost like love to hate, don't call him a snake, whatever you do, but I honestly don't know what to make of him. Like a 5 is probably enough.
He's mixed, isn't he, in terms of how fans rate him, I think.
Yeah.
And he's obviously played in the Championship before, and he's done quite well for Wigan as well. He would be a handy player to have.
I'd keep him,
but again, the noises he makes suggest that he'd probably be wanting to be one of the first names on the team sheet. I'm not sure that would be the case.
To be honest, I'd equally be thrilled if someone were coming and offer us 10 million quid for him. I just don't expect it to happen. Yeah. But on the basis similar to Neil, he can play several positions. He's not a bad influence on the squad. He gets up and down.
Yeah.
So I can understand why he'd have a bigger influence in your seat, because essentially he's a wide player that almost plays fullback.
Yeah.
So I do kind of get that. What do you give him, Kieran?
I'll give him a 6, actually. I think he does, the effort that he puts in does actually change games when he plays. Like you said, we do pick up points. He'll chase down midfielders, and within. They'd be knackered after 10 minutes working with him, and his delivery is what lets him down. He's got everything there, but it's just, a lot of his coaches from when he was a kid said he was nowhere near the best player, even when he was playing on the Stony or whatever it was.
It's a force of personality.
He was that committed that.
So the next one of the bigger disappointments of the season, Matt Phillips. Go on, Kieran, how have you assessed Matt Phillips' season?
Inconsistent.
Yes.
Yeah.
The problem with it's so frustrating, because when he's on form, he's probably arguably our most biggest threat, I'd say, going forward. But it's just so few and far between at the minute. And the worst thing is when he shirks out of challenges as well. That is infuriating.
Yeah.
And it's just...
He picks his moments as well. It's so, when you're annoyed.
He'll like have 2-3 good games and then he goes missing for 2 months. So for that, I've given him a 5. But
He needs a manager that's going to... give him the proverbial arm around the shoulder in the summer, doesn't he, if he's to stay at the club. I know there have been a few links
that
away.
That winds me up though, that does. The grown men.
It's a funny one.
Yeah, but at the same time, if he's going to get a performance out of him, you've got to almost pander to them, haven't you? He doesn't need a yell in his ear.
He's the one Albion player I would say that could go somewhere and could end up being absolutely world class
because
someone's unlocked something new. He's
Sean Dodge could be that man, couldn't he? He's like Burnley, wasn't he?
He's plausibly a very, very good striker, but no one's ever got that out of him. There is some untapped resource. What did you give him?
I gave Phillips a 5 as well. I think last season he was up there among the best players in the season. even though his season kind of consisted of like, you know, 5 or 6 months mm-hmm. in the middle, he turned it out in November, and then he got injured in the about March time, and didn't really reappear, and still hasn't really even now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his career has tracked Albion really. I think when Albion turned down, you know, got to 40 points and stopped playing, he's never started since then, really.
And neither of the club.
No. Yeah, what are you saying here?
It gets a five a game for me. It's a good point that Joe makes, that when Albion are good, it's because of Matt Phillips, and when we're bad, it's because of Matt Phillips. You know, like that one player who, almost like you said, he's almost like a little diamond for us, really. And he's only, you know, that performance against Liverpool this season, you know, that's probably one of the finest performances from an individual that we've had.
Yeah, he's very good.
And it's so frustrating, you know, you're asking yourself, where has he been all this season, and why does he need that, you know, that love and affection or whatever it is that, you know, that you have to give him to build that confidence up. He should realise that he's a good player, you know, this is a good league he's playing against, a good standard of opposition, but there's something in his head that's not right, you know.
I'd say we're counting the cost of a lot this season. Yeah, like Johnny Evans, you could have gone for 20 million more than we're selling, blah, blah, blah. He's one that I think if you'd have asked me what he's worth at the start of the season, I'd have said you're getting somewhere in the arena of 20 million. Mm-hmm. At the end of the season, I'd say you're probably in single figures, really.
It's what we bought him for, 5 million quid, yeah.
Yeah, I still think, again, he'd be a player that's worth holding on to. I think he could definitely affect games in the Championship.
I isn't give him a 4. I just felt like he's been missing for too much of it. Chadley, so I've been seeing a lot of Chadley. Shout some scores at me.
Forgot about him.
I'll give him a 1 or minus 1. Minus 1, I think.
Minus 1. Yeah. Kieran, you've got something to say about Nasser Chadley.
I just think the fact that he's injured, put that aside, since his first handful of games last season, he's just had no effort whatsoever. He's like, he's been a passenger for a lot of games. Yeah. And you expect him to be that number 10 to make the difference. And he's walking back. A lot of the time he's offside because he's walking back on the second phase. And he just lets himself fall out of games, and he's just got nothing about him for me. I think he's too laid back. I mean, if he was any more, he'd be lying down. He's like Berbatov, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's
like, without heaps of talent. Talent.
The mercurial talent.
And I think
I think that minus one's a bit harsh.
I know.
I've given him a 4. He's a bit of like a luxury player that Albion just can't afford to have in the side, really. But I mean, against Crystal Palace the weekend, we were doing okay, like from a shape wise. And as soon as we came on down that their left side, our right side, we went to pieces. You know, both of their goals came down that side, and he was like 10 yards behind like Zaha and Arnout, whatever his name is. But it's a funny one, Chadley, because for all season, all Albion fans have been saying, oh, I can't wait to get Chadley back. Can't wait to get Chadley back. Yeah. He's a bit like Morrison. Like, he's got better in quality when he's not on the pitch, you know. So yeah. I feel sorry that he's been injured, you know, but he showed that potential at the start of last season. That partnership with Rondon looked really good, and then, you know, got injured, and he just never recovered.
He's my biggest disappointment this season, because I've been one of those fans who've always thought, well, you can only judge Albion when they get Chadley playing. Obviously, it never actually happened. And actually, of course, Pardew came in and became irrelevant anyway. But I'll give him a 2, and I think a part of that's sort of, I just felt just so terribly let down by him, really.
Yeah.
You know, when we really need, and I get the feeling he's one of those players, if we had him for 10 years, he would always go missing when you needed him. When you actually needed him, we'd make sure he wasn't there. Joe, what did you give him?
I gave him a 3. It all stems back to, well, quite simply refusing to go on pre-season. Tour of Austria, that really grinds your gears. You can imagine it infuriated Tony Pulis at the time, but actually for a fan base as well, the disdain, you know, it just, and then of course the injury, it's almost like, well, that's what that's what you're going to get from not
training on pre-season
and not preparing really yourself properly.
It's someone should have made the point actually about Austria, because I think if you were to tell the story of Albion's relegation, the Alan Pardew story, as I'd call it, it would start there. No, all of us, if we had to write the individual, we'd write Chadley didn't turn up to pre-season training.
True. That's when things started going wrong. Yeah. That was the first turning point.
Yeah, and what does that say to his teammates as well? Yeah. You know, it's like, hold on, why is he being let off the hook? Mm. And then you wonder, because it was under the promise that he was going to continue at the Albion training ground.
But it's interesting that Johnny Evans didn't go the season before, and he didn't seemingly have that effect on the side.
No.
So it's an interesting one with Chadley.
It's more about whether or not
he scored a great free kick. He played 15 minutes under Pardew, and that was his season, really.
So we're going to veer slightly off now. So Sam Phil, tell us what you think his score is, but instead of talking about what he's done this season, because he hasn't done that much really, let's talk about next season. I'll give it to Sam Phil A6. He hasn't shown me enough yet to say he's a player that can lead a Championship team into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He's definitely worth a try, but he's got to be a part of the squad that's kind of a question mark rather than a certainty. I'm really hopeful about Phil, but I don't know yet. Yeah. Ian, you've probably seen more from them.
That's kind of where I sit as well. Like, I think this has been a really challenging season for Sam Field, even though this has kind of almost been his breakthrough year as well. So, you know, he's only been played in like difficult games where we've got no hope of winning, and then he had that really strange spell at the start of Alan Pardew's reign where he was playing left wing.
Yes.
And it was just like, why are you even picking there when you've got Brunt and McLean and, you know, other players who can play there? So I hope that he develops into a good player, but I'm not sure yet whether he will, for us, to be honest.
I don't think he's ready to dominate for Championship.
No, he seems like a young boy in a man's game.
Yeah. What is he, 19 still? 19, I think. Yeah. So he's, you know, he's...
It's whether or not he's been given the billing, I think. He's been given the billing as he's going to be great. You know, gets in his 4-4-2 list and that.
Yeah.
I think it's because when he has played, he has been pretty great. When he's been playing his actual position in the centre.
He was very good at Wembley.
Was it Newcastle at home?
And then he scored against Newcastle.
So if you ask both of you this, if you're naming your Albion 11 that start the next season that we think might be challenged for the playoffs, is he in both of your teams?
No, not in my starting 11.
No.
I mean, I think it says a lot that he hasn't even got off the bench when in a struggling side.
That kind
of says where he is at the moment, and I don't think that he will develop that much over the summer. He almost needs to go out on loan somewhere.
I think the club's got his progression wrong, to be honest.
Yeah.
He was never going to play this year properly because of how congested that midfield was. So why didn't we let him go out?
Yeah, well, he might as well. And I mean,
they've been talking about
it. The club put a stop on it, which
is someone you think. I mean, fundamentally, we'd be able to answer this now. Like with Nico now, he's still going to have everything to prove. He went, so it didn't really work. He's come back. Same thing with Field. And if Field can't get 40 games in Rotherham's team, then we know how good
I think with Field, that they saw that he could learn a lot of Gareth Barry, because that's the type of player that he will be. Just by looking at the size of him and his like athleticism. But I don't know how much influence Barry's had on him. I think that was the reason
Phil
probably can get
him. I think Phil needs to bulk up a little bit, doesn't he? He's still very, very skinny, and he's a good ball player, quite clearly.
Yeah.
You've got
to earn your right to play.
Yeah.
They're slightly different midfielders as well, but he reminds me of like Grealish, how he's stepped down and he's coming to his own this season. I think we could see something similar with Phil.
I
hope so.
Yeah,
I guess while we're in this area, Burke.
God, Burke.
Yeah, go on, Ian. You got something to say about that?
Yeah, I mean, Burke is another one that I'm trying to work out what he actually does.
Yeah,
and when you consider that we spent 16, 17, maybe even 18 million on this guy, Alan Pardew didn't even know his name. You know, that's so kind of anonymous he is. Yeah. That he, obviously he's a young boy and he's got glimpses of potential. I'm just not sure what he offers to Albion at the moment.
I'd agree. What have you given for the season?
3, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, like I'll give him a 4. Funny enough, I think they're a bit similar to Phillips. I sort of feel like Burke, he's so gangly and out there. He's a big bloke.
Yeah.
If you don't make it up front or as part of a front three, I don't think he'll make it in football.
Yeah.
I don't think he's agile enough to play wide already at this age. You know, he's probably going to bulk out even still. He's built oddly for a wide player.
He's too tall.
You might say the same of Ronaldo, ironically. But I'm really not sure about it. And I don't hold out a lot of hope for him. No. I think next season will bury Oliver Burke.
Well, I've actually got the polar opposite of you. I think Burke could really be a player that comes to the fore next season. Mm-hmm. He's obviously been mismanaged.
Yes,
maybe he wasn't particularly high on Tony Pulis's list, but... Mm. He's at the club, he's 20 years old, he's played in the Championship before and scored goals, albeit in a short period of time. I spoke to him, I think it was back in December. He comes across very, very intelligent, you know, as a lad. I think there have been bursts, haven't there, and he's still obviously a hell of a lot to learn and more to add to his game. But when he bursts and, you know, when he kind of gets on a run, like he did against Liverpool for that free kick the other week, which... incidentally was absolutely not a free kick, but anyway, he kind of excites you, the idea that he might be able to just beat a man. We haven't had that really.
I mean, my dad thinks that he's going to be a really, really good player for the Baggies.
I really, really hope so,
you know. So
I've given him a 4 for this season. It's not worked out, and
it hasn't worked out at all.
There have been a few goals that have kind of perhaps he's got to shoulder a little bit of the responsibility for, I'm hoping for better next season.
Kieran, what do you give him?
I give him a 5, but I do think I think because we've paid so much for him, we expect at least a bit of an impact. But they've bought him because he's quick, and they're expecting to coach the footballing brain into him. Because at the minute,
he needs a lot.
His head's down, he runs to the byline, and that's pretty much it. He's out of position all the time. And I just think, you can't sign players just because of the pace, because you might as well be Birchfield Harriers. There's no footballing ability there for me at the minute.
No, I do think he's got footballing ability. I just think in his mind he can't bring it all together. That's the problem with Birchfield. I think he's got a trick. He's well built. He's fast. You know, his delivery's okay as well. He just needs to bring it all together. He needs to be coached.
It's what you see him do. So I think he's a really tactical player. Like if it's a. I could see him working in a counter-attacking side where he's playing kind of a wide role and he's bursting through and so on. It's what you see him doing. I kind of feel like if he's got a defender up against him, you kind of know he ain't going anywhere. He might win a free kick. That's it. And I mean, because again, next season will be different. You'll see a lot more of the ball. Another player, another question mark. James Morrison. So, I mean, again, we can't really score him that much for this season. But to say we sorely missed.
Yeah.
Ian, do you have any hope he's going to play a big role next season?
I personally think that we've seen the last of Mozza.
As do I, yes.
You know, it's showing the way that it's ended. You know, in hindsight, we were all clamouring to get that contract 2 years ago. And for 1 year, he was great. But for this year, he's been, you know, he just...
Well, we haven't seen him since September.
You know, that's a bad injury to have as well at his age. And he's played a lot of football as well. He's not like a young 30-year-old, is he?
He's had injuries.
He was like 16, 17, so... Yeah. I feel that could be the end of James.
You wonder whether we've obviously got this option. You wonder whether, say, the club turn around and say thanks for the memories, James, but that's the end of it. Whether he actually gets another move or whether he hangs his own boots up.
Yeah.
What does he know? Is he 31?
I think he's 31. Yeah.
So
as you say,
he's still not old for a bloke who's been at the club 10 years.
I'm surprised he'd see him go up to Scotland. You know, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe Celtic or something like that.
He's another though. He couldn't get in the arena. He would still be one of Celtic's best players at half what he earns at the Albion, which is the kind of story.
That's the other thing. He's obviously his wage bill.
We can't judge this, but I'm gonna give him a 5.
Yeah, Kieran. I gave him a 5 as well.
I gave him a 5.
I gave him a 3, but that's quite harsh. Yeah, it's probably harsh.
Albion legend James Morrison.
It's a shame that if that's to the end of it. Would he be in your starting 11 next season if they gave him a deal? We've missed him desperately. Chadley, but
that's the thing, we don't know which James Morrison it is, do we? You talk about the James Morrison of last year.
How many number 10s have we had like that?
No one plays it like him. So I do think maybe
he's also disciplined and he can also do the defensive side of things.
He's not out of contract, is he?
I think he's got an option. I think the club have got an option.
I think maybe a year option might be worth the gamble, just in case.
Well, I've heard that he will be fit. Like James Morrison has said that he'll be fit for pre-season. So you know, is it worth taking a gamble on like a reduced contract? Obviously, yes, because in that division, if you can get him fit, he'll be brilliant for us.
He's had another one.
He'll just boss that league.
So the last one, Claudio Jacob. I've spoken quite a lot about Claudio Jacob on this podcast. Go on, Ian, let's start with you, as you haven't. How have you measured this season? Moreover, has he got a future at the Albion for you?
I would say that he has got a future at the Albion just because we've been relegated. You know, I mean, he's obviously one of those players that he's never like had any pace, but he just runs through sand now, doesn't he? He's so slow and pedestrian, and Jakob for me, he's brilliant at one thing, and that's like breaking up the play and tackling. He's just average at everything else.
Do you like him as a player? Is he?
Do I like him as a player? Yeah, I think he's okay, but I mean. Like I say, he's excellent at one thing, doing one thing.
Yeah.
So for like Tony Pulis, when you were like had all that soaking up possession and you're getting men behind the ball, you know, he was perfect for that role.
And
he would never play in a four, and he would never play in like a ball playing side. I don't think.
Either. What's your score for this season for him?
I have given Jakob a 5.
5.
Yeah.
I've given Jakob a 5 as well. I'm not sure about next season. Obviously, he's another one I think that's got another. Year option.
No, he's an option. But the thing is about Jakob, if we let Jakob go and we let Morrison go and we let Livermore go, that's a hell of a lot.
Kubiak and Barry are already gone, I think. Course. So
knowing that all our centre roles are going and
it is a clean slate. Yeah, it is a clean slate. Jakob is one that I would give another year to. The only thing I'm not sure about is whether the one great thing that he is great at, is that going to be as much of a requirement next season? There are going to be too many teams that are going to be coming to Albion and, you know, kind of hammering the door down. It's obviously a very different league to the Division Albion we're in.
I think two clearly. Things about that. You aren't playing Jakob and Brunt in central midfield tomorrow, next year. It's going to be one or the other, or neither, as I think is more likely. He's a tactical player, and he'll only play if you need a holding midfielder. I certainly wouldn't be taking him next season. I don't think he's going to age well. I think the fortunate thing about his contract coming down is it makes him plausible in Argentina, so he might move up there. I'll give him a 4.5. I'm not a fan. Kieran,
I'm not a fan either, obviously, but yeah, I've given him a 4. I think he should have gone maybe 2, 3, 4 years ago.
Yeah,
I think arguably when Malumbu went, I'd rather have kept Malumbu than
Jakob. I agree actually. Yeah.
And I just, you know, the one thing he's good at is mopping up mistakes, but in the same breath, he's the one that loses possession. I've never really got the fascination with him. So
when he first got there under Clark, he really fitted.
He looked good because he had Malumbu.
I think in a kind of with Morrison further afield and Jakob sitting alongside another deep line player, it worked to a T that year.
Yeah.
The idea of kind of bringing that same midfield back to life, like, you know, 6, 7 years on in the Championship. So
he was like a table footballer, wasn't he? And then Malumbu was running and closing in front of him.
You need that player, which won't be Morrison. So
I wonder if let's throw that in. Would you have Malumbu back?
Yes. The Championship, 100%.
I love the bloke.
Yes, yeah, so
yeah. He's probably my favourite ever Albion player.
And mine, yeah.
It's probably but lost it now.
I'm not sure.
Stop, Joe. This is the first ever Woodman Corner campaign. We've got someone from the Albion Assembly here.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, I'm going to say. Yeah.
You've officially.
That's my first question. When are you signing Usuf Malumbu?
If you say Brian Rowe from Woodman Corner wants it, they're bound to say
I know one man who would back the Usuf Malumbu to West Brom campaign.
Usuf Malumbu.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll tell you what, you put that out, he'd be all over it.
It starts here.
You've got to remember how long it's been. I remember when the Legends game last week, I went to see Richard Sneaks, is my favourite ever player. And you just forget they're 20 years old now. So Malumbu, you know.
I know, talking about age. Malumbu's only 31.
I know. Yeah.
I thought that season.
The amount of effort he puts into every game.
He was, but even after that, the Norwich fans didn't have anything but bad things to say about him.
He's not an actor. He's not.
I'd worry it'd kill his reputation. With us,
but it's a Championship, and at 31,
Could
you imagine having a Malumbu, Morrison, Yakov?
Oh, come on.
With Brunt on the wing.
That's like a Dobbins back
there. Gira back from Hungary as well.
Gira's just turned 40, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's been a lot. And I think we've all been quite upbeat, really, given how terrible this season's been. But maybe we've helped them sell some more review of the season DVDs in this last hour. But thank you all for coming. Cheers ever so much, Ian, for joining us.
Cheers, guys.
Hopefully that's still let you back in the Albion Assembly after one corner. And thanks everyone for joining us. Obviously the season's ended, so we don't have to pretend there's no football anymore. We'll be coming back routinely. You know, if they name a new manager, we'll get back on it. We're going to be having a look at the transfers that are coming and going. And as ever, if you want to get involved with the podcast, you get in touch with us, and we'll talk about whatever you like. But in the meantime, have a good summer off, and thank you for joining us this week on Woodman Corner.